Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today's gospel reading is one of my favorite Bible stories. You have probably seen this little loaves and fish sculpture that I have on my desk back in the office. And it's one of my favorites because it shows that Jesus can do amazing things with what looks like nothing. But of course, you already know that, right? You've heard this story before. And yet, in times like these, it can be really hard for us to believe it. For example, recently I've heard a bunch of comments about the life of the church. Comments about this congregation, comments about congregations in our area, comments about the church at large, and they're all the same. They all go something like this. We've lost a good number of our people because of the pandemic. Our attendance numbers aren't what they once were. Our financial giving is way down. We're lucky if we can meet our monthly expenses. Sometimes we can't even do that. People just want to come and reap the benefits without actually doing anything to serve. And on and on and on. Right? Yes, the life of the church is different because of the pandemic. Things are not as they once were. And it's really easy for us to see scarcity. It's really easy for us to think we don't have enough, especially as a small congregation. It's really easy to think things are falling apart. And yet we still know that we're called to share God's love with the world. So we can feel kind of stuck, especially now. Right, we think that the mission before us is too big for us to handle, much like the disciples in this reading. Right, on one particular day near the Sea of Galilee, a large crowd kept following Jesus. And Jesus asked Philip, "Well, where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Well, Philip, being a practical kind of guy, said, "Well, Jesus, 6 months' wages wouldn't be enough for each of them to get a little bit." Translation: we can't feed all these people, Jesus. This problem is way too big for us to handle. We know you want us to help them, but we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. We've never been in this kind of situation before. Maybe one of the other disciples overheard Jesus and Philip and said, "Well, forget this. I'm out of here. I don't want to deal with these problems. I want Jesus to feed me instead of me trying to figure out how to feed others. I'm tired of doing the work. Let somebody else figure it out." Or maybe another one said, "If we help them, Jesus, then we won't survive. If we give them the only food we've got, then we'll starve ourselves to death. We've got to look out for ourselves first, you know?" Maybe another disciple said, "Hey, Jesus, can't you just say some nice words and make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside? Right? That's why we follow you, so you can comfort us. If you keep saying this stuff about actually serving our neighbors, then I'm going to quit listening. This is not what I want from you." That is the mindset of scarcity. That is the mindset that says there is not enough. Not enough people or money or energy or time or bread or whatever it is. Scarcity thinks only of itself and its own survival. And honestly, scarcity is a mindset that comes from that unholy trinity of sin, death, and the devil. These are forces that want to tear down and kill and destroy. And it's really easy to become victim to them. It's really easy to fall into the temptation to hoard your resources because you think you're not going to survive without them. It's easy to think that God's not going to take care of you. It's easy to be overwhelmed by all the problems in life. Maybe if you just run away or close your eyes or bury your head in the sand, then all the problems will go away. But they won't. That hungry crowd of 5,000 plus people was still there. And they still needed to be fed. And Jesus still called his disciples to do something. So then what? Well, a boy stepped up. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "Well, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Apparently, the boy is the only one who thought to bring his resources to Jesus. And when Andrew saw it, he didn't think it would do any good. And yet the truth is, these disciples are being shown up by a kid. These adults who have followed Jesus for a while now and who should trust him feel like the situation is hopeless. And yet here is a young boy who offers what he has. The boy didn't know what Jesus was going to do with it. He didn't know if it would make any difference at all. But that didn't matter. The boy trusted Jesus. He trusted that even if the situation was too much for him to handle, Jesus was still in charge. So don't tell me that the faith of children and youth is worthless. If kids trust him, then why don't we adults do the same thing? Is it because we're older, we've been around the block a few times, and we arrogantly think we know better than they do? Well, that's just stupid. Unlike Andrew, Jesus accepted the boy's gift. And after receiving it, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now, there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. Now, this is the point in the story when we often stop listening. Because we understand the reality of the first part. We know what it's like to face a problem that we don't know how to handle. But we're also practical people. And we don't understand how 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed 5,000 households. I mean, you can't feed a stadium full of people with a single Happy Meal. And in one sense, of course, that's true. You can't. But Jesus can. How? Well, we'll get to that part next week. Right? Remember, we'll be in John chapter 6 for 5 weeks here, so there's a lot of stuff to cover. And next week, we'll see a wonderful way of looking at how Jesus did what he did. But for now, though, the thing to notice is that Jesus took something that looked insignificant, and he did something amazing with it. Also, notice that even though the disciples were overwhelmed, Jesus wasn't. Listen again to how the reading starts. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Oh, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Even though Philip didn't know what was going to happen, Jesus did. Jesus knew exactly how he was going to feed those people. So that means, yes, Jesus saw how many people there were. He saw how the disciples had a mindset of scarcity. He understood the reality of the situation. But he was not worried. Jesus knew that he could feed them. The disciples just had to listen and trust him. So we might feel overwhelmed right now. We might not know how to handle the challenges that are in front of us. We might think we won't survive. But come on. Jesus has seen this congregation through over 200 years of challenges and changes. Do you really think he's going to give up on us now? We are not the first generation of this congregation to think the challenges we face are too big. Instead, we are simply the next generation who continue to trust Jesus. I mean, if previous generations trusted him to see them through, if they lived lives of faith and generosity, then we can certainly do the same thing. The moment we stop trusting, the moment we think Jesus is not in charge, the moment we think that our problems are bigger than our God, then that is the moment we die and the devil wins. But you know, Jesus has this habit of bringing dead people back to life and crushing the devil underfoot. But how does all of this play out practically? How does all of this do us any good when we look around and still see limited resources and lower numbers? Well, it plays out when we live like the boy did. Instead of listening to that voice of scarcity that says we should be selfish and hoard just to survive, we now listen to that voice of faith that says we give in order to love and thrive. We give abundantly and freely and generously. We give of our time and energy to serve, both within these walls and out in the world. We give our money, both to our ministry together and to those in need in the rest of the world. We give of ourselves to our neighbors in this place and our neighbors outside of this place. We give because we know that Jesus can do amazing things with what we give to him. I mean, think about it. Jesus did not magically make that bread and fish. He didn't wave some magic wand and pull food out of thin air to feed the people. No, the boy had to give Jesus something to work with. So let's give Jesus what we have to work with too. Let's step out in faith and trust him to see us through, just like he's done for previous generations. Jesus has never and will never give up on us. So let's not give up on him either. He fed those crowds way back when, and he can still feed the crowds through us today. In the hands of Jesus, everything we give him is not only something, but it is something that can change the world. So let's show future generations that we continue to trust him by the legacy that we leave behind. So like I said, this is one of my favorite Bible stories because it shows that Jesus can do great things with what looks like nothing. But of course, you already know that because your generous life of faith shows it. Let's help Jesus feed the world. In the name of the faithful one, we are called to serve and obey Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.